So for the past few weeks, if this is your first time here tonight, because I see a few new faces in the crowd, is that we are on this series called The Garden. Somebody say The Garden. Somebody say The Garden. Does anybody like gardening in the room? Does anybody hate gardening in the room? Hey-o, you're with me, okay? I'm not a gardening fan. Bree gave you the stank face, okay? But listen, the Bible describes our lives and our hearts as a garden. Okay, at the very least, soil that things can be planted in. When it talks about it in the Old Testament, Jesus shares it several times in parables, is that things can be planted in your life. And so we are talking about the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Somebody say Matthew chapter 5. And we said that Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, he gives us 8 things, 8 plants, 8 flowers that we need to put into the garden of our hearts. Okay, there are 8 plants. You could say there are 8 values that lead to action. Okay, man, we said that in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus comes out swinging, right? Like Jesus went to the wilderness, man. He's been silent for 30 years. Jesus comes out yelling, repent. Okay, he comes out, man, on blast. He's saying, repent, repent, repent. Then I love Matthew chapter 5 because here's the thing is that Matthew 5 through 7 is what repentance looks like. Okay, because repentance is more than saying I'm sorry, but repentance is actually a lifestyle. Like, because the word repentance, it means, man, it means to change your mind and it means to make a turn. Right, so it's actually lifestyle. So the first thing that we planted in our heart was need and dependence. I don't know if you guys can see the red flower in here, but somebody say need. Right, and then last week we talked about, man, how we need to plant the flower of godly sorrow, right, or of mourning in our hearts. And today I want to talk about the third one. So if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5 for me. In fact, Rico, you can go up here, man, and come and plant the flower, bro. So Rico is our DG gardener. Okay, one day this man is going to have his own restaurant. He's going to have his own garden. It's going to be amazing. I believe in him. He can actually really cook. But man, so Matthew chapter 5. So we're going to go ahead and read verses 3 through 10, then settle on verse 5 tonight. So this is what it says. It says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who are hungry and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Once again, this is not a cute sermon, all right, that belongs on your grandma's fridge. Is that this is one of the most radical messages that goes against how we're wired. I mean, that goes against just how humanity operates, right? And so the third flower tonight that we're planting in our garden, somebody say number 3, is humility. Somebody say humility, right? Because in verse 5, Jesus starts out and he says, blessed are the humble, or God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. So starting off tonight, I'm going to know, how many of you guys say, man, one day, I want a bad life. Like, I want my life to suck. How do you guys say that? Like, you're like, one day, like, I want to be in debt. Come on. Yo, like, I want to work minimum wage for the rest of my life. Come on, yo, like, one day, I want my spouse to leave me. I want my kids to hate me. I want my dog to die. Dang, y'all. We just went country up in here. Okay, right? No one in here says that I want a bad life, right? Right? No one in here says, okay, how many guys say, man, one day I want an average life? Like I want my life to be blah. Come on, like, I don't want anybody to remember me when I'm dead. Like, I'm cool with, like, 3 people coming to my funeral. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, no one in here says I want a bad life, and no one in here says, man, I want an average life. Come on, how many of you guys say, one day, I want to have a great life? Come on. I want a great life, right? Come on, how many of you guys say, one day, I want to love what I do? Come on, one day, I want God to use me. Right? Come on, one day, I want to leave a legacy on the earth for my kids. Come on, one day, I want to leave the earth better off when I leave it than how I found it. Come on, hey, come on, get it, girl. I like it. Get it. Come on, that's fire. Clean up the ocean. Jesus, clean up Fayetteville. Anyways, come on, one day I want to have a great marriage. Come on, how many of you guys want to find the love of your life and be happily forever after? Right? Listen, how many guys say, I want to excel wherever I am? Right? Like, wherever I go, like, I'm not okay with staying at the bottom, but baby, I want to go to the top. I want to be the boss. Girl, you are on 10 tonight. Come on. How many guys say, I want my name to be remembered among the greatest? Come on, like whatever you do. Like, I know Rico wants to be a chef, and I can guarantee you, Rico says, man, I want my name to be remembered among the greatest chefs. Right? Maybe you're a basketball player. Maybe you say, man, one day I want to go to the league, Pastor Josh. God bless you. And you say, man, I want my name to be remembered among the best. Right? See, there's something wired inside of every single person in this room that says, man, I want greatness. Everybody in this room, whether you admit it or not, man, you want greatness. Right? You don't want your name to be forgotten. You don't want to live a bad life. He said, you want greatness, right? Can anybody agree with me? Right, but can I let you know this morning, right, that thing inside you that says, man, I want to be great is from Jesus. But the Bible makes it clear that Jesus said, if you want to inherit the land, right, if you want to inherit the earth, man, if you want to take hold, if you want to possess your dream, man, listen, if you want to take hold and possess greatness, there's a secret ingredient to greatness tonight. Listen, and this ingredient is key to you becoming great. In fact, I would dare to say, without this, you will not become great. Or you will not stay great. And the key is humility. Somebody say humility. Somebody say humility. Somebody say, I need humility. See, the word humble, right, in Matthew 5, the word humble specifically, it means this, and this is a lot here, so just take it in with me. The word humble specifically means gentle, it means mild, and it means weak. And in a wider sense in the Hebrew, the word means to be bowed, right, or to bow down and to be bent over or to submit. Now, isn't this, like, once again, man, isn't this so backwards? Right, like when I think of somebody, man, who's going to take over, who's going to possess, who's going to become great, like those are not the adjectives that I would first think of. Right, man, the word paints a picture of someone who is needy and poor. See, in the Greek, in a wider sense, the word means this. It means to make oneself low. Somebody say low. Somebody say low. Somebody say low. It means to level something off. Or to decrease the height of something. See, tonight, Jesus designed you to be great. He put greatness within you. But here's the thing. If you want to become great, friend, then tonight you need to learn how to live the low life. Somebody say the low life. See, this is so huge. Hold on a second. See, in short, you could say this. If I could define humility for you in one phrase, it's simply this: to make yourself low. To make yourself low. Now, there are some people in the Bible that did this really well. And there are some people in the Bible who did this really bad. You know, there's a guy that comes to mind. His name is Uzziah. And this is not going to be on the screens, guys. His name is Uzziah. And so, listen, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can go to 2 Chronicles 26. You guys should bring your Bibles to church or bring your phones, whatever. So there's this guy in the Bible, he's a king and his name is Uzziah. Right now, Uzziah, he takes the throne at 16 years old. Can you imagine becoming a king or a queen of a nation at 16 years old? Right, and here's the thing, man, like Uzziah doesn't flop. Uzziah actually kills the game. Okay, man, the Bible talks about how Uzziah, man, is that he begins rebuilding cities. Uzziah, he begins creating war machines that have never been seen on the earth before. Like, Uzziah makes Israel the marvel of all the nations around it. Like, he builds skyscrapers. Like he builds things that no one has ever seen before. Man, he beats up Israel's army. Man, he goes out and he conquers the enemy. Y'all, like, Uzziah is killing the game. But here's the thing. Listen to what the Bible says about Uzziah. It says this in verse 5. It says, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Guys, so here's, like this is mind-blowing to me. Because, like, Uzziah isn't a wicked king. Like, he starts off good. See, but here's the thing. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. See, Uzziah, man, he starts off good. Man, Uzziah is seeking God. Man, and God's giving him all types of success and all this other stuff. And then listen to what the Bible says about Uzziah. It says this. It says in verse 16. Here it is. Listen. It says, but when Uzziah, or when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. Hear me tonight. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. See, the opposite of humility, the opposite of making yourself low, is pride. What does pride mean? Man, pride simply means having an exalted opinion of yourself. See, pride, it means to be puffed up, man. It means to be conceited. See, and here's the thing, like, I wonder when it was in the process that Uzziah became proud. See, because at some point, the Bible says that Zechariah died, and I actually think it was at verse 16 when Zechariah died. That's when Uzziah decided to stop fearing the Lord and to stop recognizing God and making himself low, and his opinion of himself became a little bit too high, and it became a little bit exalted, and he started to say, man, look at everything I've done. Like, I can imagine Uzziah looking over his kingdom and seeing the fortified cities, seeing the fortified walls, seeing the skyscrapers, seeing the war machines, and he begins to go, wow, man, I'm a good king. Dude, I'm killing it, right? And, like, people come up to him, right? Because, listen, the Bible says that Israel was the marvel of the nations at this point, is that nations were looking to Uzziah. They were marveling at everything he was making. See, and I wonder if Uzziah started believing his own headlines. If he started believing that everything that was said about himself, man, if he started believing that it was him that did it. See, because here's the thing about humility, you guys, is that when you're humble, when you make yourself low, a person who makes themselves low is that they realize that they need God. Point blank. And so at some point, Uzziah starts to say, man, I no longer need God. Right? And so what happens here is when Uzziah, like, and this is crazy, guys, because the thing that gets Uzziah is actually, he was in the temple. He was in the church. And the Bible says that Uzziah goes to make an offering to God, but he doesn't go through the priest, which is a huge deal. I know to us, you're like, what? Why is that a big deal? But trust me, it's a huge deal. Why? Because he thought, man, that he could do whatever he wanted in the presence of God, and it wasn't a big deal. And all of a sudden, leprosy breaks out on his head. It breaks out on his forehead. And they have to send Uzziah away to a leper colony where eventually Uzziah dies. And he's not even buried with the kings. He's buried among the lepers. Man, he went from being the greatest, one of the greatest kings in Israel's history, to dying among lepers. Like, and let this be a lesson to us tonight. Man, the danger of pride, because pride is like leprosy. It will kill you. Listen, at the root of every sin, there's pride. Every single one, there's pride. You know, it's amazing. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says this. It says that when Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. So I believe that you could say this. When pride died, it opened the door for Isaiah to see the Lord high and lifted up. See, there's this thing about pride that will block your vision from seeing him because you're too focused on me. Right? Listen, there's another guy in the Bible, man, that I really sympathize with. His name is Saul. I mean, you guys have heard of Saul before. Right? Saul. So if you don't know the story of Saul, let me open up my Bible here because there's a specific version that I want to read tonight to you guys. Is that the Bible says that Israel was demanding a king. Right? Israel was going to God and they were demanding and shouting for a king because they wanted to be like all the other nations. And God was like, yo, if you choose a king, it's not going to go well for you. And they're like, we don't care, God. Give us a king. And so God was like, on you, homie. Right? And so God gave him a king. Right? And the first king was this guy named Saul. And so the Bible says, man, that Saul starts off really well. Saul does really good. But then he begins to get a little bit prideful. See, and there comes this moment where God tells Saul, he says, hey, I want you to go and completely destroy and wipe out the Amalekites. Okay, because their evil is rising up in my sight and I can't take it anymore. So go and wipe them out. He says, listen, don't leave anything alive. Okay, the Old Testament's savage, y'all. Don't leave anything alive. And Saul goes, and the Bible says that Saul spares the king, and he spares the best of the animals. And then God speaks to Samuel, who's a prophet at the time. Guys, and listen what God says to Samuel. He says, I'm sorry that I made Saul king. I'm sorry that I made Saul king. He says, I want you to go confront Saul and Saul. And tell Saul that I'm ripping the kingdom from him. And later God would anoint a young man named David. And so Samuel, he goes to Saul. And listen to how Samuel addresses Saul. This is huge. He says this. Let me go back to verse. Are you guys okay? It says this. It says, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of God. How deceived. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. Boss moment. And I will tell you what the Lord has said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. Listen to this. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you as king over Israel? Listen to that phrase, man. This phrase strikes me so heavy. When you were little in your own eyes. When you were little in your own eyes. See, I think somewhere along the way that as Saul saw success, and really you read and find out that Saul began to give way to the fear of man and not the fear of God, man, that he became a little bit elevated. Is that whenever he would ride in from battle, is that all the people would be at the gate and they would be singing songs about Saul, about, man, you've slayed thousands. Right? And I can imagine that got to his ego and he became a little bit too big for himself. He became a little bit puffed up for himself. Are you guys catching what I'm saying tonight? Because this is huge. This is huge. Please get me. Is that Jesus is saying this to us tonight, I believe. He's saying, if you want to be great, then you have to make yourself low. Listen, if you want to go up, it's all about how low you can become. Right, listen, when the world, when everyone around us is all about, man, becoming great and how many people can serve me, and man, how can I make a name for myself? Amen, how can I get a reputation? How can I become popular, man? Like, what are the best photos that I need to post on my social media so I can get more likes? Jesus is saying this. He's saying, listen, if you want to become great in my eyes, it's about how low you can get. And listen, becoming low, Like, God's not like, I want you to think trash about yourself. Okay, that's not thinking low of yourself. Like, God's not like, I want you to walk in front of the mirror and say, man, I'm such a wretched, horrible sinner. No. Okay, listen, if God says it about me, I have the right to say it about me. Okay, if God says I'm loved, then I have the right to say I'm loved. If God says I'm awesome, then I have the right to say I'm awesome. Okay? Because a lot of people hear this. Listen, I know people, okay, who take humility and they think it's all about making them the scum of the earth so that God can see them. Listen, you're not the scum of the earth. Okay? You're not, man. No, listen, you need to have a good opinion about yourself because he has a good opinion about you. All right? That's not what making yourself low is. Listen, but Jesus here, he's redefining what greatness is. And I think, man, that Jesus is the most amazing picture of what humility is, guys. Like Jesus literally astounds me when I look at how humble he is, how lowly he's made himself. Like, I want to point out to you guys three things. We'll see if we get to all three. But, man, three things really quickly, man, that makes Jesus low. Man, that we can take and we can copy and we can apply to our lives. See, but before we go into this, I have to understand that Jesus is the humble king. Somebody say king. Right? And before we dive into this thing, I want to look at his pedigree for a second. Is that okay? See, when we look at Isaiah 40, right? Isaiah 40, it tells us, man, that God holds oceans. Listen to me. Oceans in his hand. Not hands. His hand. I mean, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 that God measures the universe in the span of his hand from his pinky to his thumb. God measures every planet, every galaxy, every star in the sky. It all fits right here. It says that the earth is but a grain of sand to God. It says that the nations of the earth are as but nothing to him. It says that you could round up all the animals in all the world, man, and to make a sacrifice to God, and it would not even come close to being worthy of him. I know we don't sacrifice animals anymore. Is anybody happy about that? Thank God. Right? It says that he uses the heavens as a tent. It says that the earth is his footstool. See, when you go into Revelation chapter 1, it talks about how Jesus, and about how he has hair that's white as wool and white as snow, which signifies, man, that he is the all-wise one, is that he is the wisdom of the Ancient of Days. Man, it says that his eyes are like fire. It says that his face shines like all the sun and all of its brilliance. It says that his feet are like polished bronze. Man, it says that his voice is the sound of many waters. See, you go to Revelation chapter 4 and you get in front of the throne room, man, and you find out that Jesus, man, that there are millions of angels at his attendance, or at his call. Millions at his call that are waiting for a word from Jesus. It says that there are the living creatures that are surrounding the throne, flying, man, and they've been calling out for an eternity, holy, holy, holy. Is that every single side, every single time they pass by him, they say a new side of him. And basically they're yelling out, there's no one like this man. There's no one like him. Is that his throne room is on a sea of glass. And it's surrounded in a cosmic storm with lightning and flashes of thunder all around him. Man, in Revelation 19, and man, it says, man, that he's the commander of heaven's armies. That on his thigh is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, it says that his name is faithful and true. It says that there's a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And then you look at the incarnation. God becoming man. See, the Bible says, in fact, can we throw up Philippians chapter 2? The first thing that Jesus did is this, is that he made himself of no reputation. Jesus lived the low life by making himself of no reputation. It says this, it says, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. We could stop right there, night over. abandon every display of selfishness. Jesus. Is anybody else feeling guilty right now? I read that. I'm like, God. And abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Hear that last part, please. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example that Jesus, the anointed one, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Now hear this, please. Hear this, please. Who, being in the form of God, listen, did not consider it as something to be held on to be equal with God. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory, or that means he made himself of no reputation, by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. I love that line. He became human. The God. Guys, who measures the universe between his pinky and his thumb, whose voice is the sound of rushing waters, decided to be born as a little baby. Like, what in the world? Like, the Creator decided to put himself in a helpless, vulnerable state so that his creation could nurse him. Like, who is this man? God, this is unheard of. Show me another religion that does this. Listen, and not only does he do that, but man, he allows his creation to mock him. He allows his creation to beat him. He allows his creation to whip him. He allows his creation to spit on him. He allows his creation to rip his beard out of his face. He allows his creation to whip him with a cat of nine tails. My God. He made himself of no reputation. Man, listen, he gave up everything so that he could come and be with us. Guys, this is huge. Hey, Kinsey, you can come and play, or Albert, whoever. Like, catch this, guys. He stripped himself of position. Like, do you realize, okay, so we know that Jesus, okay, listen, I'm going to get a little theological for a second, okay, is that he is fully God, but he's also fully man. And did you know that when Jesus made himself of no reputation, that just wasn't for 33 and a half years. Like, when he became human, that just wasn't 33 and a half years. Is that the Bible says right now that Jesus, the God-man, is sitting at the right hand of God. That Jesus became human for you and I forever. He's still fully God. I'm not saying that Jesus is not God. He's still fully God. I mean, he became fully man too. Like, that part of Jesus, it didn't go away. It didn't disappear. It didn't just fade when he went back to heaven. It's like, catch this. Fully man forever for you and for me. Right? Big. Big, 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 big. We got 4 minutes. Okay. The next thing is this, and I could say a lot here, is that Jesus lived a low life because he lived a submitted life. So Jesus lived a low life because he lived a submitted life. Is that the word, Marcellus, come here real quick, right? So listen, we know the word low, right? Or the word humble, man. It means to bend over, right? And it means to make yourself low. It means to get down. See, here's the thing, is that whenever I make myself low, whenever I bend down, what I'm doing is I'm making somebody else higher than me. I'm making somebody else more important than me, right? And the word humility, it pairs, like it has a sidekick in its meekness. Okay, in meekness, it means to be submissive, right? Or it means to obey. And so here's Jesus, guys, this is fully God, fully man, but fully God. Okay, we're talking about the other half now. Fully God, and he chooses to look at God the Father, and at every moment he says, I will get low, I will bow down, and I will submit my life to you. I will submit my life to you. See, because guys, here's the danger of pride. Here's the danger of being puffed up, is that in essence, this is what pride says. It says, man, I don't need God because I want to become God. That's what pride says. Listen, that's what the devil said. He said, man, I will ascend into the heavens. I will become like the Most High. Thank you, Marcellus. He says, I will become like the Most High. So he wanted to be just like God. See, and there's this human tendency. I mean, that every single person on the planet that has breath in their lungs struggles with. It's called this. It's that we all want to be wise in our own eyes. See, we all want to say, man, I want to determine what's good for me. I want to determine what I need. I want to determine what's right for me. And we say, man, if I could move God, if I could get God out of the way. You know, the other day in the Supreme Courtroom, I forgot who the guy was. It was like the main judge. And basically, as they were talking over the Gender Equality Act and the whole like confusion that's going on with genders, this guy stands up and he begins to read the Bible and he says, man, God made man and God made female. There's male and there's female. Like, you don't get to choose. That's what this guy was saying. And the head over the courtroom, he stands up and he says, close your Bible. We don't need your God here. It's happened like a month ago. See, it's man wanting to be wise in our own eyes. You know, there's a verse in the Bible. It says this. It says there's a way that seems right to man. There's a way that seems right to man, but ends in destruction. So here's Jesus. And at every single moment, when his will begins to rise up, when Jesus begins to do what he wants to do, he gets low and he says, God, I submit my will to you. See, we read about it in the garden, but I know it happened other times too. Right in the garden, I love what Pastor Al told us the other day. In the garden, you have God wrestling God. Anyways, you have Jesus, right? And he's like, he knows that he's hours away from dying the most horrific death in human history, from getting tortured to death. And he's wrestling within himself, and he's wrestling with the Father, and he's saying, like, God, if there's any other way, God, take this cup of suffering from me. God, if there's any other way, God, come on, can't we figure out a plan B? But in the end, he says, man, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. See, listen, friend, and here's why humility is so important, and I'm going to end it with a bomb. Is that okay? But the Bible says this, God hates the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He hates the proud and gives grace to the humble. In fact, the Bible talks about how there's seven things that God hates. And there's one thing that's an abomination to him. And God starts out the list with, man, I hate a proud look. There's something I can't stand. Come on, how many guys have something that you can't stand? Like that gets on your last nerve. Right? God has things that gets on his last nerve. And the first one is a proud look. But the Bible also says this. It says he gives grace to the humble. And listen, I believe God tonight is inviting us to plant the beautiful flower of humility, of living the low life, man, of making ourselves low before God, and also this, making myself low before authority. Because here's the thing, I can't submit to God and not submit to authority. Like, I can't say, man, God, I'm submitted to you, but I can't submit to my parents when they tell me to clean my room. Right? I can't submit to my teachers when they tell me to turn my work in on time or they tell me to stop talking and acting up in class. Listen, friend, you're not humble. Because if we don't honor authority, then we don't honor God. Right? Romans 13, because our authority is a representation of God. So I believe tonight God is inviting us to plant this beautiful flower of humility in our lives. And here's the thing. If there's a person in this room that says, man, I got humility figured out, you're a liar. I say that with all love. Because listen, every single person in this room deals with pride. Every single one, man, I do. Man, I definitely deal with pride. I've had to check my heart all week. saying, God, let me become small in my own eyes. God, let me check my heart. God, I feel my heart getting puffed up. Jesus, stick your needle in it. Blow out the air. Man, it's like, I don't feel like a really heavy altar call tonight. I just feel like an invitation to allow the Lord to plant this flower in our hearts and to make a commitment to saying, Jesus, I'm going to get low before you. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? All right, man. So let's all stand up. I just want to pray over you. Tonight. All right, come on, let's close our eyes and let's lift our hands. The reason why we always lift our hands in church is because it's an act of surrender. That's why we lift our hands. It's actually like a Hebrew act of surrender to God. So it's very biblical. Come on, I want you to say tonight, Jesus, I ask you to plant humility in my life. I want to be the most humble person on this planet. God, let me live the low life that's submitted to you. I no longer make it about getting a reputation. Jesus, you made yourself of no reputation. So tonight, I say, I will make myself of no reputation. Jesus, you lived submitted to the Father. So tonight, I say that I will live submitted to the Father. Come on, say, Jesus, you put other people before yourself. So tonight, I say that I'm going to put others before me. God, I make myself low before you. Be exalted in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.